Welcome back, everyone, to the Courageous Nation podcast, where every week we give you tips to live courageously and overcome obstacles. I'm your host, Lance Merkey, and I'm here with your life coaches, Mandy and Rachel from Big Blue Couch Coaching. Good morning.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, yes.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere,
it might be someone's morning, and I hope it's good.
It is actually good morning when this comes out. I forgot what really happens
in
podcast world.
Yeah.
But right now in here,
it's hot. I think we've talked about this before on a podcast, but if you're new to the podcast, a podcast room gets literally super hot because you have to shut the door and all of the like things to keep it soundproof.
I don't think that's every podcast room in the world. I think that's just this one.
I would think it probably is a lot of recording things, though, if they don't have air conditioning going directly into it.
Probably.
And now we're moving into December season, which means it's hot in here.
It is. So. But I think most recording places have air conditioning.
So from this point on, wear a wife beater.
Yes.
Yeah. Tank tops, shorts. That's how we record the podcast from now on. Aren't you guys lucky you can only hear us and not see us melting?
Because we're hot messes on podcast
we're gonna,
day.
We're going to have to figure out how to have a camera for some listeners. We can have a live
camera.
Someday.
Can watch us.
Yeah. Yeah, they can watch us. We can have a live camera feed.
Slightly horrifying to think about. Not for us, for them watching the hot mess that happens.
Watching the hot mess. So today, our episode is called Becoming a Better You, Part 1.
And you're super excited about this topic, aren't you?
So excited. It actually evolved from a speaking engagement that Mandy and Rachel did earlier this year for a college support staff conference. And it went over really well, right? Okay.
It did. So, well, they were super impressed. We think it went well.
We were pretty impressed, too. I mean, I think we were pretty excited about what came from it, so
yeah,
which is good.
Content-wise,
they've invited us back to do other things. So
That usually means
good job,
good job.
So that means that you get to hear it now because we want to share it with you. So we're going to talk about three characteristics to develop in order to become a better you, and we're going to talk about two of those today, and then next week we're going to finish up with the third one. So this is part one. Next week is part two, and it's going to be awesome.
It is.
Yep.
Way to set it up.
Yeah. I can tell whoever's listening right now is just hanging on every word we're going to say. What is it going to be?
Edge of their seat.
Number one, the number one characteristic is develop persistence.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that, Mandy?
Well, you know, I think persistence is one of those things that I think we all kind of know we need it. And we know, like, it's good to be persistent. But what does that really mean when you're in the midst of life happening? When you're in the midst of, like, you're going after something, you're trying to become a better you, but all of a sudden you keep coming up against the same type of situations again and again and again. And what are you supposed to learn through that, and how do you persist through that? What are you're looking at me funny, Rachel.
I just had this thought go across my head that there's nothing like a toddler to teach you about persistence.
Ooh.
Because
that's good.
They're persistent. Like if you are a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you have spent more than 5 minutes around a toddler, you know that if they want something and they feel like it is theirs to have, there's nothing like the characteristic of persistence in a toddler who wants something with a parent who wants to say no. Because they won't give up until you either give them the thing or you punish them because they've gotten disrespectful and saucy and all the things, because that it's like ingrained in little people. And I don't know where we lose that as adults.
But we do.
We do. And I wonder if it's because we hear no too many times and then we're like, okay, well, I'm going to just stop. But that's the thought I had as you were talking about it, because I'm raising one of those little people who is very persistent, and I had to give her a spanking the other day. I don't spank my kids much at all. I think I can count on one hand the times I've actually spanked them. And it's more like a slight swat, not like a spank, because, you know. But she was going to do something, whether I said no or not. And, yeah.
You know,
I think discipline sometimes the persistence out of them.
You do. I have one of those. But I also,
when
she was younger, I kind of wanted that persistence to be there. So when she was starting to walk or starting to crawl on things, I would kind of like not help her on purpose.
Right.
Because I would say, no, you can do it. You can do that. And now it's coming back to bite me because she thinks she can. But I love that about her too.
It's a leadership skill.
Right. And like you were saying, where do we lose that along the way? Right. I hope that she never does lose it. Even mm-hmm. though, yes, you have to say no, even though it's hard sometimes when they throw a colossal fit in public and you're like, I want her to have that when she's an adult mm-hmm. and a teenager, and to think, you know what, I can do this and I'm going to do it.
Right. And I love, Maddie, I'm not sure who actually wrote this thought on the notes, but the idea that this is an easy skill sometimes to overlook. And I think as adults, we do. And I don't know if there's like a set time where something happens that we kind of develop this idea that persistence is no longer something we do. And we hear like a no and we're like, oh, okay, well, I guess that wasn't meant to be.
I think there's two things to keep in mind when we're thinking about what happens when we're adults. The first is what we've been talking about as far as, you know, you grow up, you hear no a lot of times, and all of a sudden you're just kind of getting by and you forget about persistence.
Right.
The second thing, though, I think is that it depends on your personality type.
Very true.
Because there, like, I am a very type A personality. If you've ever done Danny Johnson's GEMS training, mm-hmm. which is one that we highly suggest you do for personality training, I am a very high ruby sapphire, mm-hmm. and I swap them depending on the day
right.
and the activity. And so those would be my primary ones. And because of that rubiness, the rubies are the type A. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I have always been persistent. Like, I think that's why I'm like, yeah, let's overcome. Let's be courageous. But at the same time, I think there are things that happen in life that are beyond your control that can make you lose that persistence and you're not even aware that you lost it, no matter right. what your personality type. Things like traumatic events that happen mm-hmm. in life, or depression and anxiety. And those are real things. For some people, they are things that are brought on mostly from their mind. For other people, there are other chemical things happening in their body that have right. kind of led to that. And mm-hmm. so whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But I think those are the moments where remembering to develop your persistence is really vitally important, because mm-hmm. that's the time where, okay, becoming a better you. Well, I want to become a better person, but I'm stuck in depression and anxiety. So what do I do?
Right.
You persist through it. You persist through it by reminding yourself that better days are coming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By reminding yourself that you can overcome this.
Right.
That this doesn't have to defeat you. That this doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of the persistence mindset that we're talking about when it comes to becoming a better you.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
I had a big time anxiety that I take medication for. And when I was first starting to take the medication, it was the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was never going to go away. It felt like it was a problem that I was going to have to just deal with. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, you felt that bottomlessness. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just got a lot of encouragement from family. I got a lot of support and a lot of just keep going. Like, mm-hmm. trust the medication. Trust the process.
Right.
And that was an awesome thing for me to see persistence in action, because then it did help. Mm-hmm. I was able to, you know, quote unquote normal activities and stuff. It wasn't something that was yep. going to hold me back. So I think you're right that you can develop persistence almost without knowing it, mm-hmm. because as an adult, we overlook it. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to mm-hmm. overlook.
And I think when I think about my life and persistence and the things that have happened in my life, I think some of my best things, some of the best lessons I've ever learned in my life are because I was persistent in one thing or another. And I think that's probably true for a lot of people, because you know, we don't get those kinds of things in our lives. We don't get those, you know, jobs we've always wanted, or taking the trip we always wanted to go on, or experiencing something mm-hmm. that, you know, we never thought we would do. We don't get to do those kinds of things without this characteristic of persistence, mm-hmm. because a lot of times with the things that are important, you're going to run into all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of resistance. Like Mandy, you were saying earlier, and sometimes it's just your own health and mm-hmm. your own mental well-being that can be your biggest resistance to some of this. But that's the whole idea of developing persistence, is walking through and developing wisdom, I think. I think mm-hmm. that's what changes from when you're little
yep.
to as you grow older, and how your persistence changes is you have to develop your wisdom at the same time to know what do I persist in and what is not mm-hmm. worthy of me being persistent in, and it's time to let that thing go.
Well, and I think persistence really comes down to not giving up. Mm-hmm. Isn't that like, I mean, I don't have the definition of persistence in front of me, but it's something along those lines right. of keep going. Don't give up. And I was, we love to listen to all kinds of different podcasts here at Big Blue Couch. And my favorite this week, well, all the time, is Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church. And his most recent sermon is called The Seed is on Schedule. Mm. And I have listened to that literally, I bet I've listened to it over 20 times already. Mm-hmm. And it's only been out for 4 days or 3 days. And it is so good. But it's really this whole idea of developing persistence of how, like, when a seed is in the ground, it has to die before it can grow.
Right. Mm.
And how some, and his whole thing is just talking about how sometimes we're the harvest, like the planter and the harvester, and then other times we're actually the seed. Mm-hmm. And so is our faith going to persist long enough to make it through the growing season that a seed goes through? And right. so go listen to that because it's amazing. But I think that's really what it comes down to is developing persistence. And you can't become a better you without developing persistence.
Right. I agree. And I think one of my favorite definitions of persistence, and I only can remember this one line of it. I think we usually share about a paragraph of what persistence actually means. But this time we're going to make you guys go to dictionary.com and look it up yourself. But one of my favorites in there was something about overcoming when there are obstacles. Mm-hmm. That's what persistence is. It's not just like, you know, just walking forward into something super easy. That's not persistence.
No.
This is going forward in something that you want to accomplish or you're trying to do, and you're doing it even when there's obstacles, even when there's trials that come up, you keep moving forward. Even if you have to take a step back and, you know, two steps forward and one step back, whatever that saying is, that reminds me of persistence, where you keep getting up and you keep getting up and you keep getting up even when life is knocking you down for whatever reason.
And how is this something that our listeners, like, what would be a practical thing that they can do? Kind of maybe look at something that is an obstacle in their life. And say, okay, we're going to knock this out. I'm going to persist through this. Is that something that you would think maybe help, like, kind of see what the obstacle is first and then be able to attack it?
And I think honestly for our listeners, this is something that really a lot of the products in our store and just life coaching in general is a great way to actually do this because you know that saying where you can't see the forest for the trees?
Yep.
I think sometimes this is where persistence starts to get hard because when we have a goal and we go forward in it, we're like super excited and we're going to do this thing and then life gets real and you're like, this sucks and I'm going to give up. And so when you bring a coach into your life in whatever aspect that looks like, they're the people who will help you see that goal despite what's going on around you and help you take those baby steps when you feel like you're only taking steps backwards and keep you motivated and keep you moving forward. Because sometimes it's hard to be persistent by yourself.
Like, yeah.
It's super hard to be persistent by yourself.
And I think the funny thing about persistence is that any season in life where there are ups and downs, that's not because you're doing something wrong. That is literally the path of succeeding at something and persisting. Is you're going to have a great day and probably within a day or two, things are going to suck. The bottom's going to feel like it's falling out. And that's just kind of the roller coaster ride of things. And I think the people who really develop persistence, they have tools that they go to, just like Rachel was talking about, that in those moments where they feel like, oh, woe is me, all hope is lost, I should give up. I may know this feeling all too well. They have tools that they pull out to persist in the right mindset because that's a skill. It comes easier to some than to others, but even to those that it comes easily to, they still have to practice it on a regular basis.
For sure, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't think, I think there's kind of a lie out there that there are some people out there who just are always in the up. And that all of us in the world have ups and downs. It is life. And I like that you brought that up, is some days are terrible and they're just not good, but you can persist and think about the good days.
Right.
Because perception is such a strange thing. And we see people sometimes we're like, oh man, that dude's got it all. He's got a good car, a good house, and a good whatever. He must owe it. And I bet you that dude some days is like, man, oh, this is overwhelming.
Right.
And I think that's a thing to really recognize is that, you know what? It's not always going to be down either.
Right.
And to be able to go through the downs.
And I think that's a good point to bring up because if you find somebody that you are learning from who is always only talking about how good things always are, that is not a vulnerable, authentic person.
No, find another person.
There's a difference between choosing to only talk about the good and then when you are going through something, admitting it to people as a way of encouraging them versus only talking about the good and ignoring the bad.
Definitely.
Those are two different things. And there are a lot of, like, quote unquote gurus out there who will only talk about the good and say, oh, keep your mind on the positivity.
Right.
you know, like manifesting things and speaking all the whatever. I'm not going to go into that because that'll take us off on a tangent. But there are people who are like, just line up your thoughts with all the good things. And the thing about that is it's a distortion of God's truth that says renew your mind. Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. And that happens by being real about, okay, your circumstances, mm-hmm. but also realizing that within those circumstances, you have a choice and you get to choose what you're going to focus on,
right?
Whether how bad things are or how good they
totally.
Are. Those are two different thought processes. Yeah. Because
and I don't know about you two, but I feel like the closest I've felt to God and to scripture mm-hmm. is when I'm down.
Yeah. Right.
And because when I'm up, I neglect mm-hmm. reading the Bible. I don't think
so
about
common.
Going after spiritual things. I don't right. think about, oh, God still has my back. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. Right. But when I'm down, it's really when I'm like, dang, I need to pick up the Bible. I need to just right. pray mm-hmm. and be like, God, this is not good. This right. is not good. I need your help. And I feel the closest then.
Mm-hmm. And to me, I think when it's those bad seasons, quote unquote bad, because bad is relative. So I think it's in those times that you really develop the skill of persistence mm-hmm. because there's no point in being persistent when things are going well.
Right.
I mean, when you see the sprouts coming up and you see all the good things happening, you don't have to develop that skill as much during those seasons.
Then it's like maintaining.
It's maintaining and trying
totally
to like,
different.
You know, and grow new seed and, you know, put mm-hmm. new things into the ground and new ideas and all of that. And that's a whole different process of waiting for something and being persistent in something when the things around you do not look like anything is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you develop this skill of persistence. And I think that's when most people give up.
Yeah.
Is when it's looking like, okay, I've done all of this stuff and I've got my mind right. I've done all the things I'm supposed to do and nothing is happening. And that's when you're going to find out whether or not you have this skill of persistence or not. And I swear, Mandy and I have been learning this for like a year now on
yes.
whether or not we're going to be persistent because, you know, honestly, for Mandy and I, we use coaching tools when we have days like this, and it's our mm-hmm. own stuff, and we go to other people that have been where we are, because there's a lot of people who talk about this 3 to 4 year mark of a business. And when you look at just business in general, and anybody who's listening to this who's maybe started a business or quit, there's this magic thing that happens around 3 years that you just want to quit. About 2.5 into 3 years, it gets way too hard and most people quit. That's why most businesses never make it mm-hmm.
to
even like
years.
A 3 to 5 year anniversary. Mm-hmm. But there's also this magical thing that happens that if you stick it out through your third year, things start happening. And mm-hmm. so Mandy and I are in that magical spot right now where it's like every day it's like, okay, do we have the persistence to do it? Or is this our sad day
yeah.
where we're like, nope, today we just want to give up, even if it's just for an hour, and then we'll get back up again. And I think that's good for people to know that mm-hmm. because like you were saying, Lance, we get this idea that everybody else has only high days.
Mm-hmm.
And Mandy and I are very real about the fact that our high days and our low days go back and forth. Like,
some days they happen within the same day.
Within the same day. That is so
within
true.
The same 30 minutes. I'm not even lying. I wrote a blog post that's coming out. Well, by now it's already out, but I just wrote it. It comes out tomorrow. And, it's talking about finances.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just sum it up. Go find it. It's all about the truth about manifesting money, and you can just have fun with that. But literally, there are days where I'm like, oh, no, woe is me. Where are we going to, you know, how are we going to figure this out? And then 10 minutes later, no, God says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and he is for me and not against me.
Right.
And no weapon formed against me shall stand. And so that literally happens to me within a 10-minute period.
Right. And I think that's honestly, for what I've seen from us and from everybody I know who's ever succeeded in anything, this is how you develop persistence.
Yes.
Is being honest about like the good days and being honest about the not so great days and how those are the days that you learn how to be persistent and how to keep going and how not to quit no matter what the obstacles look like.
And I think that you do a great job of using your own life experience to develop what some content is for coaching.
That's our only thing.
And I think that's awesome. And I think that's how we're going to go into our next
characteristic.
Yeah, characteristic. Number two characteristic of becoming a better you is developing self-awareness. Now, mm-hmm. this one, to be honest, I wouldn't even have thought of a thing that this would be a skill. And that's just something that I think people lose, like what skills do you want to develop? Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to be a good blank, you know, fill in the blank. Right. But self-awareness, that would never even be something that I would think about.
Most people are not self-aware at all.
I mean, what is that before we even develop? Like, what would you say, what is self-awareness in a positive sort of thing?
Okay, well, for me, so it's kind of funny because usually when Mandy and I define words, we have the dictionary definition in front of us. So now we're like testing
our knowledge,
our remembrance skills,
our memory.
There you go. And our words. We got good speech and skills. Good grief. But to me, okay, so I'm going to do like a Cliff Notes version of what the dictionary says self-awareness is. But for me, I think the easiest way for me to define it for somebody is self-awareness is being able to see both the good and the bad about you, mm-hmm. which means your personality, your skills, your talents, your abilities, your failures, your successes, all of that. Because I think we get like, you know, like horses when they're in a parade and they're the kind that will like easily jump or spook and then they have the blinders on them. Mm-hmm. And for me, that self-awareness means you take those blinders off and you start to look at the whole picture of who you are and the whole picture of your life and the experiences that you've had and the good and the bad. Because I think we can get so easily focused on one thing
mm-hmm.
that we forget all of the other stuff that we could be developing. And self-awareness, to me, that's what I think of. I don't know, Mandy might think of something completely different when it comes to self-awareness.
The only thing I would add to that is, besides all of your experiences and everything, is really the dictionary definition of self-awareness is being aware of yourself, mm-hmm. being aware of you as a person. And so that means being aware of your habits and your thought patterns. Mm. Those are probably the two things that people don't look at the most.
Yeah. And I think those are the two things that will like make or break you the most. Is your
especially
thought pattern and your
the
burn.
Thought patterns. Like mm-hmm. be aware of what you're thinking about. Most people have absolutely no clue what they're thinking about. And so they just let all these thoughts go in their brain all day long. They don't know which ones are from them. They don't know which ones are from the enemy. They don't know which ones are from God. Right. Like, they don't have a clue. They just are having thoughts just flying around. Some of them they speak out. Well, they speak out most of them.
Right.
And they flip-flop back and forth. And they don't realize what they even really believe because they don't know whose thoughts are actually in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. I working with youth and teens and stuff, how I have, I've heard a lot of them say, you know, I don't even know who I am
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. I'm just trying to find myself or I don't really even know what I believe.
Right.
Is that something that needs to be defined at a certain age or are you always going to be looking for
it? I think some things get defined, but I think sometimes you're going to always be developing mm-hmm. that because every time you walk through a new season, there's going to be new things that you can learn about yourself. And I think it's a normal thing for teens to go through right. and probably even young adults. Sometimes I still feel like, what am I doing with my life? But I think every season, I don't think you ever get to the point where you're completely self-aware and then you're done.
Yeah. No.
Like, but I think there's certain things that don't change, like your personality mm-hmm. and certain behavior traits that you have and certain thought patterns that you have. Those will kind of stay with you and they'll be either good or bad depending on which seasons of your life you're walking through. And so if you know your natural inclinations, if you are self-aware, you can get through certain things much easier and faster because you know how you behave and how you think.
And you can start to change the things that need to be right. changed. Like, mm-hmm. I think when it comes to personalities, I think there are a lot of people who don't know who they are because they're trying to be somebody they're not, to meet somebody else's expectations. Mm-hmm. And so being aware of that, I mean, I was kind of that way. There was probably about 10 years ago, I took one of those personality tests when I was one of the women's ministry leaders at our church at the time. And so the head pastor had me take one of their big personality tests that the entire staff was taking. I don't remember which one it was, but it's one of the popular ones. And an interesting thing happened because it kind of gave me the results of what my natural habits are and what my learned habits are.
Mm-hmm.
And they mirrored each other, which meant my natural, I was repressing, and my learned ones is what I was trying to be.
Right.
So basically I was being somebody I'm not.
Right.
Because I expected other people, that's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a long process to overcome that and figure out who am I really? But I think that's really becoming a better you requires you to look at that. Mm-hmm. Are you acting a certain way because your parents expected you to?
Right.
Are you doing things a certain way because other people in your life just made you feel like who you really are isn't good enough? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of us fall into that. But another thing about developing self-awareness, you know, we talked about persistence and about being real about the good days and the bad days, is self-awareness comes down to who are you telling things to? Do you have a habit of saying too much too often to the wrong people? Mm-hmm. So when you become self-aware, start to be really selective about who you share your struggles with.
Right. Mm. I was actually just talking about this today on the North Dakota Today Show, which this question really has nothing to do with being self-aware so much. But the question of the week was how you handle like a toxic work environment that mm-hmm. you got fired from and mm-hmm. how you deal with that, like the relationships that were there, and then what do you do next? And one of the tips that I gave was that the next time you go into a work environment, be more selective about who you are building relationships with and do it slowly. Mm-hmm. And I think when that's you're self-aware, thank you. Sometimes I have good ideas. When you're self-aware, you will keep your circles small. You will be able to not be as hurt as maybe you were earlier in your life where you just shared all the things with all the people because you needed somebody to tell you that you were okay. When you're self-aware, you're confident in your own skin. Mm-hmm. And so you are selective about what you say out loud. You are selective about the thoughts that you think, and you take thoughts captive. And I think all of this happens, I think for what I'm thinking of when it comes to self-awareness in regards to persistence and the difference between the two, I think you naturally develop this more and more every year. Mm-hmm. The more you grow in wisdom, the more you grow in age, the more you will grow in self-awareness. Because as a kid, you don't know. As right. a teen, you barely have any idea. As a young adult, you might not even know. And honestly, sometimes I think self-awareness kind of just hits you in the face all of a sudden mm-hmm. that you're like, I literally have no idea who I am and I should probably figure this out. Because mm-hmm. time's a waste and yeah. I need to do something with myself.
The interesting thing is if you look back at some of the very, very successful like millionaires or billionaires mm-hmm. who started getting that success in their 20s, you'll find that they were working on this stuff when they were in their teens.
Right.
Because somebody in their life was intentional about teaching it to right. them. I don't think kids just realize, oh, I want to become a better adult, so I'm going to be persistent and I'm going to develop self-awareness.
Right.
I don't think kids figure that out yeah. when they're little without somebody planting that thought in their
right.
head.
Right. And the thing about that idea, though, too, is that because they're children, they're very perceptive to ideas. And so depending on who's speaking over them, you can struggle for years. Like Mandy was mm-hmm. even saying, you can struggle for years with your own personality just because you don't necessarily like it because somebody else said something negative about, you know, something that could someday be a strength of your personality, but right now you're developing that. And so you're like, well, I don't want to be that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so then you spend all of your life trying to change something that is naturally yours mm-hmm. and something you're supposed to be self-aware of and develop into a characteristic that is good instead of negative. And I think for most people, this is something that they do just not even mm-hmm. think about. Like we just go about our motions of our life. And if we're going to ever do anything good, we need to be self-aware.
Well, and what you just said reminds me of how, like, when I was living that life of where my learned personality was different, like, completely opposite of what my natural personality is, mm-hmm. everybody thought that I had these giftings in, like, certain things, like she is gifted in administrative things, and she is gifted in, like planning right. and all these things.
I have to laugh at how many jobs you had in administration. And now knowing you here in your real, like, you know, you're okay with your real self.
Yeah.
Administration is not your
No, it's not. But here's the thing. I have skills mm-hmm. in that because I worked in industries where I learned those skills.
Right, yeah.
They are not perfect skills because clearly there are things that I don't even think of that other people with administrative skills are like, you didn't do this. I'm like, what? That's a thing? So, I mean, but there are skills that I do have, but that's not my gift.
And don't you think that's the whole point of being self-aware?
Yes.
Of knowing what you're naturally good at and
yes.
being able to be like, I'm okay with this, but I'm also cool with the fact that all these experiences in my life have taught me skills that I wouldn't have had otherwise. Mm-hmm. Like I have probably a little more natural inclination towards administration, but I don't like it. So there's certain things I do like, and that's part of mine and Mandy's whole divide and conquer. We have a very much a primary personality that's
different than each other.
No, the primary, I think, would be the same, wouldn't
you? Oh, our secondaries are different. We don't have a clue. We're just guessing. I'm kidding. I was not listening. Sorry.
So because we know that, mm-hmm. we can run a company much better because we can take different things that she's really good at and she's in charge of and different things that I'm really good at and I'm in charge of, and we don't have to compete about it because she's already good at that. I don't need to pick that stuff up. I suck at most of the things that she does.
And I suck at the things that you do. Right. For instance, like, okay, so let's give them an example because this is really quite funny. So the whole divide and conquer thing was my husband's idea.
Yeah, we didn't come up with that on our own. We're not usually that brilliant. The things we say, a lot of people have told us, and we recreate on our own. We're like, oh, that's a good idea. Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. For months, he's like, you guys need to figure out how to divide and conquer. And we're like, what? What are you talking about? We don't even know what that means. And finally, when we started working with a business coach again, she said something along those lines that, you know, do what you're good at.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the light bulb was like, you know, Nate's been saying divide and conquer. Maybe this is what he means. So what that looks like for us is, okay, so when we do our website pages, mm-hmm. when we are writing a sales page for any type of a class that's coming up, Rachel writes the sales copy.
I do all the words.
Which is the words.
Who don't do computers.
I do all the graphics. Mm. When we put together things for if we are doing a presentation and we're using a PowerPoint, Rachel puts the PowerPoint together. I put together whatever the workbook might be.
She also puts together whatever the stories are going to be.
Yes.
Because I have more of a teaching spirit and she has more of a cast a vision type of spirit.
Yes.
And so she puts together the stories. She starts the speeches. I go into the nitty gritty details and then she ends it and sends you out with your marching orders. But we didn't just naturally know that. We had to become aware and have mm-hmm. people say, hey, you guys have opposite things that are actually really good strengths. You should no longer be doing each other's stuff.
Right. And here's how we figured that out. When I found out how long it takes her to do graphics, I had a heart attack, like a metaphorical heart attack.
I can make them look good. That was never the problem but it was more of how long
it takes her
like
a day to do five. And I can do four different sets in like 3 hours.
Right. She's very talented.
Yeah.
But it would take me forever to write a sales page. So that's what it comes down to. When it comes down to self-awareness, really, like, be aware of what do people say you're good at, but it takes you forever to do. That's a skill you have. It's maybe not something you are great at.
Right. Right. And honestly, anytime we've ever done it, it's that thing that you're like, oh, thank God, somebody finally said, I'll take that from you because clearly
you wanna cry.
This should not be a thing anymore. And yeah, it's been really funny kind of how self-awareness has developed in this company, because without it, I don't think we would still have this company. I think if we were always...
I don't think we would have persisted.
No, because if we were holding tightly to the things we thought were our skills and our thing... We wouldn't be here anymore because...
Lance is laughing.
He's laughing. No,
You've been so quiet during our little thing.
No, I enjoy it.
And come to think of this, Lance, you were like, what were we going to talk about?
Oh, I didn't say that.
30 minutes later.
Speaking of being self-aware, Mandy and I are clearly not good podcast hosts. Like, we should not be in charge of beginning and ending and moving a podcast along. And so
as we go into our final thoughts.
Yes.
I'm a big sports fan and I heard the basketball playoffs are going on right now. And one of the greatest coaches is Greg Popovich. He's the coach of the Spurs.
Sure.
And I heard a guy, people will know that.
We'll believe you.
Who worked under him. And everyone wants to know, you know, when anyone's successful, they want to know the secret. Mm-hmm. They want to know what's the one thing that makes him different. Why is he so good? And a guy who worked under him said, well, you know what? I realized it's not one thing. It's every little thing.
Ooh,
and I thought, wow, that is why, because as we're talking about becoming a better you, mm-hmm. we're not giving you one thing. We're going to give you a bunch of little things mm-hmm. that you need to persist at, you need to keep doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a wonderful analogy for life that, mm-hmm. yeah, you can be great at this, but all the little things don't need to get washed away. They need to be important too. Mm-hmm. So as we go into our final thoughts, Mandy, what would you say?
Well, what I wrote down... is really the final thought is more of an action step for you, the listener. And that is to listen to this podcast again and pick one thing that hit home for you today mm-hmm. and apply it every day this week. be persistent in following through to apply it. Maybe that is you want to develop your persistence. So go back and listen to maybe some of the questions that we threw out there about persistence. Maybe you want to pick on developing self-awareness. Go back and write down all the different ways that you need to start becoming self-aware, whether it's with your habits, your thought patterns, whether it's with your skills, your gifts, your natural inclinations, whatever. Pick one of these two characteristics to develop and start working on it every day this week. Because if you do nothing but just listen to this and move on with life and be like, oh, that was a good thing, whatever, la, 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 what's next on my little radar? You're going to miss it and you're not going to develop it. So be persistent in following through with that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love what you said, Lance, about the it's all these little things. Because I think we get this idea that there's just one thing. And if we can figure out what that one thing is, all of a sudden we're going to be successful. I think if we've done nothing over the last 3 years but figure out that it's not just one thing, it's all the little things, mm-hmm. and it's whether or not you're going to be persistent in the little things to get to success, that's what I would leave you guys with. It is not just one thing. You can't just develop one skill or all of a sudden change one thought and the whole thing just happens for you. That's not very often there's overnight success mm-hmm. stories like that where it's just made one change and the whole thing, because usually there's years and years and years of persistence, years and years and years of developing self-awareness for you to be a better you. And that's, I love that. I love that you brought that in, Lance.
Awesome. And we just want to thank you for listening into our podcast today. We have an awesome amount of time, fun here. Amount of time fun. And so we just want to encourage you guys and also just thank you again for tuning in today. And if you could just do us a quick favor before you go, just take a few seconds and rate this episode on iTunes. And that way more people can get this content. So until next time, let's rise up and build a courageous nation together.